We're going to finish up now. Mechush ba'alma sukkis. So we're talking about, again, people who are not sick, who are taking seemingly medically related pills. So again, we said that on Shabbos, if you're not a cholosh eibos hakan, you're not allowed to take medicine, if it's for a medical purpose, and it looks like medicine. So again, things that are myfalbrium, that are things that normal people eat, are not going to be a problem. So now, random types of medications that come up that would be an issue. So we talked about vitamins. There's a big machlokas, right? It would seem to be, and we saw based on the tour, if it's how do you explain the tour when he says oh lamat, where it says myfalbrium, and if you're bari, so then it's mudr lagam, right? So the Magen, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, right? If you're bari, you can eat these things. And the Magen Avraham quoted the Torah. He says, yeah, if you're hungry. Meaning, if you're, and that's how the Mishnah Berurah says it. But if you're taking it, you're not really sick, but you're taking it to make yourself stronger, to add to your health in some way, it would be aser. Rav Avadi Yosef reads the Torah, reads the Shulchan Aruch as the Beis Yosef himself read the Torah and say, no, it's lav dafka. For whatever reason you want to eat it, it's fine. Most people eat things because they're hungry. But any other reason would be fine. So it would seem to be a machlokas to Mishnah Berurah and Rav Avadia, based on like a Sfardi Ashkenazi Psak. And then we saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman thought and that it, if it's a food supplement, it's fine. Because then it's just, what's the difference if I'm eating a watermelon or taking a watermelon pill? It's all the same. I'm eating it for the calcium or eating it for the potassium, whatever it is. You could eat a banana, you take a potassium pill. Rav Moshe was, he was a little bit back and forth. He said that if it doesn't make you, if it doesn't actually cure anything, so maybe it would be better. Fine. Then we saw machlokas about, there's machlokas in the Afronim, modern day Afronim, some say yes, some say no. So in terms of vitamins, so I think we mentioned it once, but there's during pregnancy, women are supposed to take folic acid, so it reduces the chances of spina bifida, which is when the spinal column doesn't fuse properly and then the spinal cord's exposed. It's not good, it's associated with mental retardation, etc., etc., etc. And if you take folic acid, then you reduce that rate. And these kids are at risk, so they become a cholesh eibos, yesh bo sakana. So most people will certainly permit taking these folic acid pills for a pregnant woman or for a woman who's trying to become pregnant because it does indeed reduce the case of sakana.
Right.
So it would be a valid reason, and some postmen are going to allow you to take vitamins anyway. However, if you want to be machmer, you could in theory just, you know, you take one Friday morning, take one Friday night before Kiddush, and take one Shabbos before Havdalah.
Right.
And you could probably make up for the loss if you want. So it's easily avoidable, but it's preventing a terrible disease that doesn't exist right now. So is that mutter? Is that not mutter? I think what the postman can tell you all is vitamins anyway, and it's medicine. So medicine we know is usur, but we're going to make it when we can. And vitamins, some postman say, is mutter. And this, in theory, is preventing a terrible disease. So then we're going to allow you to do it because it's really preventing a terrible disease.
So preventative, like in terms of things that really could go wrong.
Right. So also you have the svar that's preventative. So preventative medicine might be fine because she's a bari legamrei. So you have Rav Avadia telling, right, this is the same machlokas. So Rav Avadia telling you, oh, we'll be fine because it's she's completely healthy right now. So I think most postmen are going to love folic acid. What about aspirin? So right, we talk about this. Right, older people take aspirin every day. Many people take aspirin every day to lower their chances of blood clots, strokes, and heart attacks. Again, today the task force said is a little bit United States Preventative Task Force on Preventative Medicine, Preventative Services, USTFP, I think, whatever. It's the official guidelines are a little bit less liberal with who should take it, right? Because it can cause GI bleeding, gastrointestinal bleeding, and then you could die from that. So you have the balance, which chance is higher and fine. But many, many, many people take aspirin every day who right now are not sick. They're at risk of something happening to them, and if that would happen to them, it would be a cholesh eibos sakana. But right now, it's not happening to them. So, it might be... So in the past, everyone was taking it, and so it might have been considered a myfalbrium. Today, the only people who are taking it are people who have a higher risk of cardiovascular disease more than the chance of GI bleeding. Right? Something is... I'd say wrong with them, but they're at more risk of having a heart attack or a stroke than they are bleeding. So something in their body is off. So does that make them a cholesh eibos sakana? I don't know. I mean, and the sakana we're concerned about is the disease we're concerned about is the yesh bo sakana, right? Because
right.
It could cause them to die if they have a heart attack or a stroke. So it sounds like they shouldn't really right now be considered a cholos ein bo sakana, but they're preventing something that would be a cholos yesh bo sakana, and I think all poskim are going to allow it because it's preventing again a cholos yesh bo sakana. And you know what? It's a big suffix, and we don't know if it'll be a yesh bo sakana. And right now you're healthy, but again, because it's first of all it's medicine and it's preventative, and it might be michael bream because you take it every day anyway. So almost all poskim are going to permit it. Again, I think we quoted the Be'er Moshe, the Bitzin Rav, who's not known for his, he's always leaning positions on everything. He has leaning positions, okay, I'll take it back. Whatever. So he quotes Rav Yonason Steif. Rav Yonason Steif was one of the big poskim in America when he came to America. I'm not sure if it was after the war, before the war, but years ago, he was one of the big poskim. He is quoted as allowing him to take aspirin on Shabbos, likely because he felt the Gezeirah of medicine didn't apply. Alternatively, he thought aspirin didn't really cure anything. But you also have that to rely on, although baby aspirin is not sufficient to cure any. Like, if you have a headache, taking a baby aspirin isn't going to help. You take a full aspirin. Baby aspirin is 81 milligrams, full aspirin is 325. He would probably have a bigger aspirin. But he thought that wasn't a problem anyway, so you also have that to rely on. Okay, so medications that aren't really treating medical diseases. So what about something to relax? So a person's very nervous and they take something to relax themselves. So you can take an anxiolytic, you can take, so if someone has really anxiety, so then they actually get prescribed medicine. Other things help someone relax. So Tzitz Eliezer says, it's very interesting. He says, they don't actually cure anything. They just sort of calm down your nerves. I don't know what that means. Or, he says, Hashkatat mechushim hagormim lo ta'afra. It just lowers the intensity of whatever's bothering you. It doesn't. Aval einam mishrakim. They don't actually cure anything. Sugim ka'eli yishmakam lahati lakachtam Shabbos. You could take those types of medications on Shabbos. So I'm not sure what we're talking about. Are we talking like biochemically? Like some antibiotics are going to kill the bacteria. They're going to kill the bacteria, so I'm going to cure the disease. Tylenol is not curing anything. It's just making me not feel pain right now. Are we talking on a biochemical level? I don't know. Does he mean biochemical? Like, aspirin actually reduces, like aspirin to prevent a heart attack, right? So why do people have clots, right? So the blood, when it's not flowing properly, can clot. Like when you have a cut, so it clots and you want it to clot. But when it's in your heart, you don't want it to clot because then that clot can go somewhere and then block flow to something. If it's in one of the arteries that goes to your heart, so then that part of the heart's not going to work, or part of the brain, then that part of the brain's not going to work. So it's really bad. So the aspirin reduces the ability of the blood to clot. So is that a cure? I don't know what he's doing with this. It's a very difficult thing to know. He's definitely allowing it, because he doesn't think you're actually sick, and just...
Well, when was it written?
Chelik Yadav. Probably in the 70s.
Fine. I thought maybe it was like so a lot longer ago. Maybe they had didn't have the technology for like this. But
maybe 60s. Okay. But I think so.
But they knew about like anti-anxiety...
Yeah, he's saying, but the anti-anxiety medication is not curing the reason you have anxiety.
Right.
It's just preventing you from right now being anxious.
But it definitely has an effect on the brain chemicals. Right,
right, but it's not, you'll be anxious again tomorrow.
Yeah.
As opposed to the antibiotic, which I'm going to kill the bacteria tomorrow, I'll be there.
Right.
So I don't think he means biochemically. So yeah, I can make a chiluk biochemically and say, oh, I'm curing something, or I'm not making you feel it. Like I'm giving you a painkiller. Painkillers don't stop the reason for the person, you know why he's pain, because his leg's broken, so that's why he's in pain. Giving him Tylenol, it's not curing him. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's what he's saying. I don't know what you're doing. Okay, but he says it, so we'll quote it. Just a couple of other issues here. So we talked about fertility medicines, right? So couples trying to have children, and so they're having difficulty, so they go to have help, they go to ask, or they go to a doctor to have assisted reproduction. Often this requires that the woman take a lot of different medications, sometimes an injection, sometimes a pill, because we want her to produce more eggs. That's usually what we're trying to do. We want to either regulate her cycle so that we can have her cycle in tune with whatever we're trying to do, maybe extend her cycle so they can have children naturally, or try to have more eggs so we can do IVF. We're giving her these medications to try to have children. So, can you do that or not? She's not sick.
Right. That's okay under the laws of Sakana Deva.
So that's what Rav Schechter says. Rav Schechter says, because You know what? She is sick. One of her organs isn't working properly. So she's considered sick. She doesn't look sick. Doesn't matter. One of her organs is not working properly, and therefore she can take medicine, and she can even do an Isidra Bonham kind of shinui. Okay, so everyone I found is permitted this. Question is why? So we had,
fertility. So fertility meds, so we had, it could either be a Sahamus Eber.
Right? Because one of her organs isn't working properly. So Rav Avadya says, you know what? The exact opposite. She is completely healthy. And remember, Rav Avadya is the one who read into the Shulchan Aruch that if you're completely healthy, you could take medicine.
Right. So even more so.
Well, they're completely they're the opposite perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. It's completely rejected. We're like to say she's a chayav sefer. She's worse than chayav sefer sakana. She's more sick. One of her organs. So you could do a drabanan below sinui normally, right? And whereas Rav Avadya is telling you, no, she's completely healthy. So completely healthy people can take medication.
Oh, that's a little bit ludicrous because
she is completely healthy.
I know, but what kind of person walking on the street is popping fertility medications for like recreational purposes?
No, it doesn't matter. No. Rav Avadya says it doesn't matter, remember? Rav Avadya says that if you're completely healthy, it doesn't matter why you're taking it. The Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah quote the tour that only if you're hungry, that you don't eat ready fertility medications because you're hungry. But if you're doing it for a medical purpose, the Magen Avraham said, Mishnah Berurah quoted, it's usher for a bari.
Right.
But Rav Avadya quoted the Beis Yosef who said, no, any reason, if you're bari lagamri, completely healthy, you can take medicine on Shabbos. So he says she's completely healthy. She can take medicine on Shabbos. It's just interesting. It's the completely opposite perspective, but they both come to the same conclusion. So just, it's going to have other issues. Because Rav Shechter is going to allow you to do this to draw upon the below Shinui, and Rav Avadya is going to say, no. Only medication, right? The nafkamina is going to be, can you do Isurei Darabanan? Other Isurei Darabanan, right? So Rav Shechter is like, she's just stuck on the saber. Of course you can do Isurei Darabanan. Even without a sheep, right? With the Rehudis. Right? And Rav Avadya would say, what do you mean? She's completely healthy. You can't do this to Rav. So she can take medication, but let's say she has to, go to the office and have blood drawn. So we'll talk about blood. Maybe, can you ask it? Can you do a Amir Lanafri? Can you have a non-Jew do Malacha for you? So according to Rav Shechter, absolutely, but Rav Avadya not. Mm-hmm. The Shevet HaLevi, Rav Osner thinks that it's a tzarech pirah v'rivya, so it's okay.
Yeah, wait,
it's a tzarech mitzvah.
Yeah, wouldn't that overrule a derabbanan anyways? And you did,
That'll overrule a derabbanan b'shinui.
Right.
So normally the tzarech mitzvah overrules amira l'nachri by an iser derabbanan. Not enough to let you take medication. So it's a tzarech mitzvah shel pirah v'rivya, meaning of having children, which is a greater mitzvah, which we do allow you to violate certain things for. If it was just a regular mitzvah, the daven and shul, we're not going to allow you to do an isur d'oraisa, right? So we're not going to allow you to take medicine. We'll allow you to do an amir l'nachri by an isur d'rabbanan. So this is a different mitzvah, so Rebbe Levi says. The Satmar Rebbe says, I don't know which Satmar Rebbe, I apologize. I don't know which Satmar Rebbe. One of the Satmar Rebbe did one of four possibilities. So I don't know who it is. Now there are two, and then their father or their grandfather. I don't know who it is. Probably grandfather. He said, well, she's a chola b'kola guf. She's a chola she'ein b'sakana. Right? Her whole body is ill. Why she can't have children? She's considered to be ill. And we can therefore take medication. You can do it in... And also, it's to draw upon the machinery. Right? False aim of Sakana, you can do this to draw upon the machinery. Okay? So the difference between all of these things is they're all permitting taking the fertility meds on Shabbos. The question is, what about other Easter that need to be violated? So if it's Sakana Savory, you can do this to draw upon the machinery. If she's completely healthy, you can't do anything else. If it's a Tzarech Mitzvah, I can do a mural enough for you, right? This is just applying all the previous things we learned. If it's Letzarech Mitzvah, Shal Pirah V'Rivya, then I could do an Amir L'Nachri maybe by an Issa D'Rabbanan. And if it's a Cholosh Ein Basakan, I can do an Issa D'Rabbanan B'Shinui. And the regular, and the straight Amir L'Nachri by an Issa D'Raisa. So this seems to be the most popular approach, a Cholosh Ein Basakan, And therefore, especially fertility clinics in outside of Israel, you can go and have anything done to you because it's all going to be done by Goyim, who are not having Shabbos, so it's a miracle enough for you, even if this is a Raisa. So even if you think turning on the lights is a Raisa, turning on the ultrasound machine is a Raisa, drawing blood is a Raisa, whatever they're going to do, as long as they're doing it, meaning it's a miracle enough because you ask them to do it, right? You're there, you're asking them to do it, you don't ask them to do it. You show up because you want them to do it to you, so it's still a miracle enough for you even if you didn't say anything, right? But it's going to be completely permissible for Chol Sheva Sakana and for Sakana Sefer. If you hold the other two approaches, you can have a little bit more of a problem. Okay, so that's for fertility medicine. So the Nachmi and Pini's approaches is, what else can you do? In that same vein, what about Viagra? I'm trying to come up with medications that people take even though they're not sick. Okay. So Viagra, maybe, so what's Viagra? What would you consider Viagra? Let's just say, I'm not assuming everyone knows what Viagra does, so Viagra helps people who cannot, the man has erectile dysfunction, he cannot have relations properly with his wife because he can't maintain an erection, so the Viagra allows him to do that so he can have normal relations with his wife. There should be nothing else wrong with him. So what would you describe him as?
He's totally, he's not full, he's just, he doesn't fall under any category.
Okay, so
maybe he can also be considered
okay. So it's hard to say. You could consider him Sakana Sefer, depending on Rosh's definition. It's possible.
Right.
You could also say he's Bari Lagamri, the Karav Avadya. Yeah. He's completely healthy. So now, according to Mr. Burr, it'll be us, the Karav Avadya, the Mutter.
Right.
Right? Because Karav Avadya is going to allow a healthy person to take medication, whereas Mr. Burr is not.
But it has secondary properties also, the doctor, right? It can also have other health benefits, or it can
not really. It doesn't have other health benefits.
Oh, okay.
It first was meant to be, the reason they discovered this was it was supposed to be a blood pressure medication, hypertension medication, because it works on sort of the same system, mm-hmm. but because the receptors are specific, so the receptors in the in your reductive tract are different than receptors in the arteries. And so it only works, really mostly works on those.
Right.
So the problem is it works a little bit blood pressure. So if you take other blood pressure medications, you could have a problem. So if you take nitroglycerin, like people put like nitroglycerin under their tongue when they have angina.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take nitroglycerin and Viagra, you could die. Because it does have some effect and then you've completely dropped the pressure. But as a blood pressure medication, it's not effective.
Okay.
I mean, it's not effective enough that anyone would use it as a blood pressure medication. And it has this weird side effect. okay. So, even if the person is Bari Lagamri, and therefore Rav Avadya would allow Mr. Ruud, but not. It sounds otherwise, maybe let's start a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be with your wife every night, on Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to do so. So maybe let's start a mitzvah. Hard to get to say, let's start a mitzvah, you're only allowed a miracle enough for anybody in this with the Rabbanon. Maybe it's pure Verivia, we'll allow it. Unclear. So Dr. Abraham wants to know. He says, first of all, so Dr. Abraham says, like you, he says, Sakana Sefer. Sakana Sefer, just like the Reb Chaim Nov, one of the organs is not working. It's fine. Now, not only is one of the organs not working, this is not going to cure his problem. Sort of harkening back to the Sicilians of War. The Viagra is not going to cure his problem, it's just going to temporarily treat him. But we don't promise, that's enough. Meaning, you don't have to, we're not interested in biochemically. Right now, you fixed it. You fixed the problem, that's enough. In a couple of hours, it'll come back. I'll deal with it in a couple of hours. The fact that I know it's only temporary is irrelevant. If right now I can fix it, that counts as, if right now it's the Aver is not working properly, and I can get that organ to have a regular function back, so then that's sufficient for a minimum chance.
Would that mean that if there's multiple medicines for the same problem, but one is more effective than the other, then you're not going to take the more effective one? Like I've heard, like you see, as only like Cialis is more effective than Viagra, then you have to take the Cialis, you know, as opposed to Viagra.
There are always going to be multiple considerations, so it's not going to be.
If
they're all the same and they'll have the same effect on you, and they cost the same, and there's no other effect, why would you ever want to take the less effective medication?
Right.
Just in general, but that's not true. They have different effects on different people, different side effects, and different costs depending on your insurance.
Right.
So that's going to be a factor. Okay. You know. But yeah. Years ago, there was a different issue that men with certain heart conditions would develop a heart condition during relations. So now the question is the following. So they were able to take some medication that would reduce that problem. Right? They'd taken medication before, and then they wouldn't have a heart attack. So you could just tell them, okay, just stay away from your wife and child.
Yeah.
And deal with it. Right? You don't have any... We're permitting... Yeah. If you get a heart attack, we'll let you have medication for your heart attack. But why, don't start up with the problem at the beginning and leave around the problem. So the Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Dayan Weiss thought it was fine. He thought, no. You're supposed to be with your wife on Friday night, and that's considered normal. And so if you're doing normal things, and you may become a cholish, you should certainly prevent it. So certainly it's mutter. The Shemin Alevi, Rav Vosner, said, who says you have to be with her Friday night? Be with her another night of the week. You don't have to be with her Friday night. And therefore, that's not normal behavior. You're not allowed to put yourself into that situation. Yes, once you put yourself into that situation, you're certainly going to allow you to take medication. You're supposed to take it before, though. He says, no, you shouldn't take it before. Fine. So there's a question. Okay.
But that would never work. If you that reasoning would never be okay with somebody like Rabbi Vadia, right?
Right. You say it's totally fine. Right now you're healthy.
Right.
Right now nothing happened. Yeah. Certainly take it. Unless he would say that someone who's susceptible to that problem is considered a chola. It's going to make us bad. It's hard to say. Right now he's walking around and he's fine. Right? He knows, but he has a condition, right? A normal person doesn't have it to him. So does that put him into another category? I don't know. He says that the woman with the fertility problems is considered a bari legamri, so she's getting medication. I bet she's walking around fine, but we know she has a problem. The only reason she wants to take his medication is because she has a problem. But I think he's going to say, no, if you're walking around and you're fine, you can take it. So Rav Avadi would say it's heter gomer.
Right. But not the heart attack medication once you've already...
Oh, certainly, then you can do it. You have a heart attack. Then you'll be called a chase masakana.
Yeah.
I mean, the question is...
Yeah.
The question is, if we don't allow you to take the pill, you're not going to have relations. Yeah. Right? Okay. So that would be fine. There's no issue violated, no problem. Right? Once you have it, and you have the... Once you have relations, and then you have the chance of having a heart attack, so then you're called a chase masakana, we're going to have anything you need. The question is, should you put yourself in that situation to begin with?
Yeah.
So the Minchas Yitzchak thought, well, you're allowed to do it. That's considered normal behavior. And therefore, you're allowed to engage in normal behavior. And therefore, if normal behavior is going to lead you to be a chol sheyesh bo sakana, you can certainly take it before. But Shemot Levi said, no. The halacha is once a week. We say, the best time is Friday night because it's Shabbos.
Right.
Okay. So, you know what? For this person, it's not Friday night. Do an Easter involved. Do it a different night. It'll be fine. There's a couple other issues. So what about sleeping pills? Right, there are all these other like issues that people are not really sick.
Yeah.
Okay? Is this considered Michael Briam or not considered Michael Briam? So Ravadi says, everybody has sleeping pills. Michael Briam. Okay? But what about caffeine pills? You can say the same thing, everyone has caffeine pills. This is college, right? Everyone has caffeine pills.
Yeah.
So maybe that's also Michael Briam, and therefore people take it all the time. So even though it looks like medicine, if you're taking it for medical purposes, it's not really medicine. Everyone eats it, so it would be fine. I don't know.
Well, it depends on the baseline. Is what's normal? Is normal being able to go to sleep at like on your own within 20 minutes and putting your head down? Or
well, that doesn't make it Michael Briam. Michael Briam means what everyone's doing. Rabbi just assumes everyone has sleeping pills at home.
Yeah.
In Israel is a strange place.
Yeah,
Israel is a strange place. Okay. So Rav Nissim Karel, it's like he says, I don't know. He doesn't buy this. He's like, not everyone has this. And he says, well, why are you taking it? He says, if you're taking it because, like, it's actually going to help you feel better because, like, you haven't slept and you're not functioning properly and you can't fall asleep and you need to fall asleep so you'll feel better in the morning.
Right.
So then you're a chola. You're not a chola. You're a mechas ba'almo and you can't take medication.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Being Michael Briam is not going to help you. Right? Well, no, it would help you. He doesn't buy it to Michael. Then it would help you, right? Because
yeah.
If it's a Michael Briam, it'll always help you.
He says, first of all, it's not a Michael Briam because people don't take sleeping pills all the time.
Everybody thinks, here's a quote, the mitzuyim b'chol bayis. So it's not Michael Briam. And therefore, he thinks, if you need to sleep because you're not feeling well, and the sleeping will make you feel better, so then you're not allowed to. The Chaim Noah, the same one who says by the second Sefer, he says, no, the lack of sleep doesn't make you sick. Makes you tired. You're not sick. You're tired. You're not curing anything. That's okay. You're allowed to. He says, medicine is something that cures a disease, that cures an illness, cures a condition. You're not sick, you're just tired. He says, the lack of sleep is not a sickness. And therefore, you can take the medication. You're not curing anything.
Depends if it's just based on not being able to sleep or if there's a deeper.
Right, is something else going on.
Yeah. Which is usually the case when you have, like chronic insomnia.
Right, or you have like older people. Like, I know my wife's grandfather. He has to take a sleeping pill every night, and then he'll fall asleep.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with him. You know, kind of already is 96. Okay, you know, 97. But like, okay, so he can't fall asleep without a sleeping pill. There's not much wrong with him. Like, he's fine. He has some other issues, but like, I wouldn't categorize him as sick.
Mm-hmm.
He just needs to fall asleep. So I think this is what Reb Chaim Noah is saying. I think even Reb Nissim Karelis would say, look, it's not like this person is not, he's not feeling well and he needs to fall asleep because he's so tired. He's not. He's taking this every night because otherwise he knows in the morning he won't sleep. So I think everyone would allow, I think that's what Reb Chaim Noah is saying. He's like, he's not sick. He's not sick. So therefore this isn't curing anything. Therefore it's not medicine and therefore it's not a problem.
Right.
Okay.
What about like a temporary situation like Jeff Matt? Let's say you just came back from Israel and it's Shabbat and your body clock is just so off that you would have to take.
That's a good question. Yeah. So I think that would be enough. So first of all, Shmir Shabbos Kilkas and Rishlamas Al Rabbi say it's fine. You gotta take something else.
Right.
Just say that. I think that would be jet lag would be a nafkamina between Rav Nissim Karelis and Nachut Shani and Rav Chaim Noah. Rav Chaim Noah is saying you're not sick, you're just tired.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not medicine. And Rav Nissim Karelis will tell you, no, you're taking it because your clock is off and you're not able to function properly, so you're taking this to make you feel better. And that's medicine, that would be usher.
Right.
So that would be a nafkamina between Rav Nissim Karelis and Rav Chaim Noah. That's a good question for a quiz. I like that. Okay.
Good to know.
Good to know, right, okay. I think caffeine pills would have the same discussion.
Yeah.
Right? Why are you taking them? Because otherwise you need to stay up, otherwise you can't stay up. Or no, you know you have whatever reason, you always fall asleep but you know at 2 o'clock after mincha, so you take some caffeine pills to stay awake.
Right.
Might be the same discussion.
Wait, so Rav Chaim Noah,
he said it's fine. He just quotes it as being fine. Shlomo Zalman Aurbach says it's fine. Rav Avadya Yosef says it's fine because everyone has that.
Right.
Shlomo Zalman, I don't know why
so
he said
it's the same thinking for all these cases, basically. Like you're not either you're sick and it's a pill, you know.
Right.
So,
so here it's you're not. So here Rav Chaim Noah says you're not sick. I think they're just saying he says you're not sick. And therefore, it's not medicine, so it's fine. And I think with Nissim Karelitz and Chut Shani, he's saying, look, if you're doing it to treat a sickness, he's defining sickness more broadly. And I think Rav Chaim Noah is saying, no, tired isn't a sickness. And he's saying, well, I think jet lag would be the perfect example. And Rav Avadya is saying, it could be a sickness. You're right, he's sick. But it's Michael Breen, everyone has this at home. Okay. Okay. So, okay, so one more topic. So this comes up a lot, and it's what, so, Rav Shlomo Kluger lived many years ago, and he's quoted as saying that, you know, people say, he's quoted someone else as saying that people say, Margala Bafume Dinshi, that if you already started taking the medicine during the week, you can continue taking it on Shabbos. Right? Even if it would be a medication, you would say no. If we would ask you on Shabbos, can I take this medicine? You'd say no. So what's his status? What's this person's status in asking the question?
If you take pills all the time.
No, the person, this is a person we would ask on Shabbos, he would come to you on Shabbos and say, can I take this medicine? You would say no.
Right.
So what's his status, as Kola? Why would you say no?
Because he is. Because he's Kola,
Mechus Ba'alma, or Bari, according to the Magen Avraham. But he's asking to take medicine, right? Okay, so he's Mechus Ba'alma. There's such a person we would tell it's Aser. If he started taking it before Yantar, before Shabbos, we'll allow him to take it on Shabbos. Right?
Sorry, this is who again?
Rav Shlomo Kluger. Wilo, he's not, I mean, he's, this is how he's quoted. And he's saying, Margal Bafumid Inch, people know this, people say this. Right, we don't have a basis for this, a stark basis for this. That's what he's saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Um, He says, what's the concern with taking medicine? That you'll prepare it, right? You'll grind the herbs. And then that makes sense. But if you already started taking it before Shabbos, you grabbed all the herbs already.
Right.
Meaning you grabbed everything already. You made enough for the whole, you need to take medication for 7 days. So you made enough for 7 days. Mm-hmm. So today's the third day. So you're not going to make any Shabbos.
Right.
There's no concern. If you already started taking it before, it would be fine. Okay, so according to him, it would sound like if you take any medication from beforehand, a continuous medication that needs to be taken for X number of days, right, and Shabbos falls in the middle, so then you can take it on Shabbos. So if you take it logically to the extreme, though, almost all of our medications fit the category, right?
I have a bottle of 500 pills of Tylenol.
Yeah. So you tell me, even if I'm still concerned with taking medication on Shabbos, I might have to grind it, but if I buy the bottle of Tylenol before Shabbos, they're all ground for it. What's the concern? Right. Okay, so we're not going to go that far to let you start taking medication on Shabbos. But for some of you are saying, look, if you already started, yes, the Tylenol's sitting there. But if you already started taking this before Shabbos, it's going to allow you to take it on Shabbos. So some people want to, they want to try to find a raya in Shulchan Aruch for it. It's a little bit deep in Shulchan Aruch, whether the Shulchan Aruch actually has this case or not. Right? Whether such a case exists in Shulchan Aruch. Or Shlomo Kluger thinks not. And my proof is that he says, it's a miracle of Bafumi, the Inji people say this, and he doesn't quote you any source for it. He's using a completely logical idea. So he doesn't think it's in Shulchan Aruch, but he allows it. So the question is this accepted or not?
Well, a person seeing you doing it doesn't know that you've been taking it for 2 days prior to Shabbat.
Right. But you're right. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're right. But you have this head of cooler. Okay, so what? So he did, that didn't bother. He's quoted elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So I didn't see it in his original insight, so I don't know if he deals with that issue. But you're right. So what do we do with this? So the poskim are not fans of this idea. Right? Remember, this is a person who, if he would ask on Shabbos, can I take this, he would say no. So he's not all that sick. Okay? So Shlomo Zalman says, yeah, so you started on Wednesday, it's a 10-day medication, let's say you started on Tuesday, so 10 days on one Shabbos. So it's 10-day medication, and you have Shabbos in the middle. He says, well, only if stopping the medication for that day will cause you a problem, will add to the problem. Right? Meaning, it has to be taken 7 days straight. 7 days, 10 days cumulatively, right? So if you don't take it on day three, you'll never have, if you don't take it on Shabbos, you'll never have 10 days.
Yeah.
Right? So it needs to be taken for 10 days. Otherwise, it's not going to cure you. You'll develop a problem because of that, and then it's going to be mutter. So does that exist? So many antibiotics work this way. You take antibiotics for 7 to 10 days. Why?
Because if you stop taking it for 1 day, then they can come back.
So, but you'll take it the next day?
Right, but it has to be a consistent course, because otherwise your immune system
will... a little bit of a micro-evolution?
Yeah.
Right, because you're selecting, meaning most of the bacteria are going to be susceptible to my disease. Right, and I've given them this bacteria to my antibiotic. It's going to kill them. Mm-hmm. Right, there might be a couple who aren't affected by it.
And over here, yeah.
So the question is, though, they're not completely unaffected by it, but they're not really so happy while my medication's around. So if I can get rid of 99% of all the bugs, that other percentage, my immune system will take care of on its own.
Yeah.
I don't want to give them a chance to grow. So if I stop taking medication on day 3 or 4, I'm selecting for those bacteria that are immune to my antibiotic, and now they're gonna grow, and then I'm gonna have a big problem, and then my antibiotic's not gonna do the work, I'm gonna take another antibiotic. So most antibiotics work this way, that's why I take it for 7 to 10 days. Right? There's a reason you take it for 7 to 10 days. You want those really 9 days, really 10 days, was a 10 day added on. So what if it's a 10th day of Shabbos? We'll talk about it. Okay, is that 10th day really necessary or not? If it's really necessary, otherwise it'll come back. So it's necessary. Right? But you need each day is not important in of itself. It's important in of itself, but it's also important in cumulatively. Meaning you need to have them sequentially, otherwise it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So antibiotics almost fill in this category. This is definitely a question for a doctor. Whenever you're sick, you need to ask a doctor. You cannot make this decision on your own.
Right.
So Rishon Zalman only thought it was permissible if it was something that, if you miss it out of the day, it will cause a problem. Chazon Ish thought it was okay. The Chazon Ish liked it, and Rav Moshe Feinstein was opposed.
Mm-hmm.
Rav Moshe Feinstein was opposed. he thought, no, you shouldn't really, this is not a good hekher, and that's why a lot of the, in America, we're not so into this usually, because the Rosh Feinstein was opposed. He said, I understand, this is not the, it's not a valid story, you can't make up, there's someone who can read this up, and we cannot rely on it. He says, but if you need to take medication for 10 days, so you need to take the medication for 5 days, so you have to do it. Right? There's a person who, again, who we're not going to allow to take medication on Shabbos, so he can't be all that sick. Right? So we're not talking about antibiotics, we're talking about, I don't even know what we're talking about. Maybe for some like rash or something that's not so dangerous. To take it for 5 days is when you have to start on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. You have to wait till after Shabbos and start on a Sunday, it has to be sequential. He says, but if it's something you have to take for 10 days, and it's not possible to get better unless you take it for 10 days. And he says, well, if not, maybe you'll get a nerve breakdown. Right? So he says, so that's already, maybe it might be okay. You know, if you don't cure this, meaning this is again a disease that we're not letting you take medication on Shabbos for. So it can't be that serious. So he says, well, so if this medication requires a 10-day medication, a 10-day course, then according to my psak, you'll never get better.
Yeah.
Right? Now, remember, this is, again, not a chola. So he says, so you'll never get better. But if not, never getting better, I'll call you and cause you a nerve breakdown. He writes a nerve breakdown. Then, okay, so then you'll be a chola shebo sakana because you'll have a nerve breakdown, and then you can take it. He says, yeah, but people like that don't really exist. It's like people tell me about this, it doesn't really happen. So according to him, if it's a 10-day medication, you're stuck. You can't get better from this condition. You joining us for today? No.
I wish.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. Almost double the attendance. All right. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was opposed. He said, hey, I don't think this is viable. He said, well, and he's telling you, as a result of this psak halacha, there will be certain conditions that you can't get cured from. Right? He said, it'll cause you a nervous breakdown, so then, okay, it'll cause you a nervous breakdown, what are you supposed to do? And then, you'll be called to Moshe, it'll be fine. But short of that, he says, I'm sorry, it's not okay. The Chazon Ish was more amenable to allowing it, and Shlomo Zalman had this in-between approach, right? So you have a Chazon Ish who allowed it, or Shlomo Zalman had this in-between approach, if not taking it will cause you harm, it'll be okay. He says, there's no way, Chazal never wanted you to be sick. Mm-hmm. They wanted you to find a way to cure yourself. Right? So, if you don't have to mechal Shabbos, you don't have to take it on Shabbos. But if there's no way to get better unless you take it on Shabbos, so then you'd be okay. And Rav Moshe said no.
Is there any perspective, because obviously you can't always tell just how sick somebody is, or you can't even tell yourself how sick you are just by the external symptoms. You could have very serious infections, you know, maybe your fever isn't that bad and you can still function. You know, in that kind of case, like anything with a long course of antibiotics is clearly automatically more than a miracle.
Right. No, antibiotics is always going to be a chol shein bo sakana. There's a reason we're giving you antibiotics.
Right.
If your doctor prescribes you antibiotics, it's more than a miracle shbahoma. Almost always.
Mm-hmm. So,
what about like acne medication? What about acne medication?
Yeah.
Okay? That's also an antibiotic. Mm-hmm. So take the thing up, can you take the acne medication on Shabbos?
I don't know. It, so it's not a problem. You're just putting it on.
Oh, no, so let's take a pill, though, because that would be smearing, so you can't smear it on Shabbos in your face.
Right.
Let's take a pill, right? You can take a pill for acne. So is that going to be permissible on Shabbos or not? This person is not, so Ravadi might tell you, what do you mean? He's healthy. Heter gomer. And that would get you into a problem because Mr. Ravadi would then tell you. It's also because he's completely healthy. You would then, Chazon Ish would tell you it's fine. Why? Because you've taken it for many days in a row. Rav Moshe Feinstein would tell you it's usher, because can't take it much. Even if you started before, you can take it and multiple days in a row. There's also a good test question. And then I think Rav Shlomo Zalman would say, and if you don't take it on Shabbos, what'll happen? It won't work. It'll work. It'll just work slower.
Yeah.
It'll just work slower. So Rav Shlomo Zalman would say, it's also taking it on Shabbos, I would think. Unless he thinks you're a whole shame, like, oh, no, because I don't know, you're afraid you won't get mad, you have to come up with some other excuse.
Can it also happen, though? Like, I mean, it can be serious, but let's say it's a burst and you get a staph infection because of an open wound, you know?
So don't pop it.
What if you burst on its own? Like, let's say you have a very bad life.
So then you can have it clean. I don't know. Okay, we're talking about medication to cure it, meaning. It depends on the person's severity. So let's take a normal person who we're not so concerned. I mean, I don't think most people are concerned like that. I think most people are not concerned that they're going to get a staph. I mean, right. I don't think so. I could be wrong.
But also, a normal person doesn't have
take medication. They're a little right. You're right. Although doctors are a little bit more amenable to doing it nowadays because, like, uh-huh. It works. So, like, if it works and it's not the biggest deal, why not do it?
Yeah.
I think. I think dermatologists do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Works actually far better than any of the creams. So they're more amenable to it. But okay, but that would be a good question. I think that would be enough. I mean, the Chazon Ish would say it's fine, or most would say it's aser, and I think Rosh Shlomo Zalman there would also say it's aser, because not taking it that one day will not cause you a problem. It'll just make it cure, meaning it won't make you worse. You just will be cured a little bit later. I don't think it's going to be much of an issue. Okay, so that's going to be it for Mechus Be'alma.
Okay,
so the quiz, which is going to be Monday, was going to cover Mechus Be'alma.
Okay.
And... yeah, let's say the quiz will cover Mechus Be'alma, and then the next quiz will cover... Right, so that the quiz on... Yeah, so the quiz on Monday will only cover Mechus Be'alma.
Okay.
Let's do that. Okay? Okay. So now we're going to move on to pregnancy, childbirth, and nursing, all on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which, Mirza Shem, he should never have to experience firsthand, but Mirza Shem, he should experience secondhand. It should be safe. Okay. So, the status of a pregnant or a nursing woman, we've discussed a bunch of times, comes up relevance to Shabbos, comes up relevance to fasting, and comes up relevance to Nida. So I'm going to just assume that people are more familiar with Shabbos and fasting, but Nida, you can assume not. So Nida, a woman becomes Nida when she has her period, or whenever she sees Dam. I'm not saying blood, I'm saying Dam, because it has to be the halachic status of Dam. If you tested a lot of these things and you want to know, it doesn't have hemoglobin in it, it doesn't have red blood cells, almost always going to have red blood cells, sometimes she will not be Nida. A woman who is Nida must refrain from being with her husband. Mm-hmm. They can have relations, they cannot touch each other. There are also something called archakos. They have to separate from each other, they cannot sleep in the same bed, they cannot eat from the same plate, they cannot hand things to each other. She is Nida. And a woman who is Nida has to wait until she no longer sees Dam. She has to check herself to make sure she no longer sees Dam. After that point, she has to count Shiva Mechim, 7 clean days, and then go to the mikvah, and then she can be with her husband. Okay? So, sorry if I was... I don't know how... Hochas Nida is not always well known to the men. Fine. So a woman in childbirth sees Dam. Okay? So not only does she see Dam, she can be Nida. There's something called the Yoledis. A woman who gives birth is also Tmeya. So this week's parasha. Ishaki Tazriya Yalda Zachar, right? So this part is a little bit misleading because we're already added so many halachas onto what it says in the Torah, Midrabanan. So a woman who has a baby is also Tmeya. According to the Torah, if it's a boy for 7 days and for a girl for 14 days, we are then going to require, and then she's Tahora. We are then going to require her to be clean and count 7 days. Midrabanan, I say that, not Midrabanan. Practically, halacha l'maaseh, we're going to require her to be clean and then count 7 days. This is not going to happen for several weeks. Any dam that she sees is going to be a problem for her, halacha l'maaseh, and it's going to take her at least 4 or 5 weeks to be clean and then count 7 days. And so, practically, she'll have to wait anyway. Min haTorah is different. That's what it's the first two psukim of this week. Fine. So that's so much for Nida. The reason we're going through this is because the Gemara in Shabbos helps us try to figure out when does this happen? When does a woman called a yoledes? And why do I need to know? I need to know when a woman is considered to be a yoledes. Yoledes from the word give birth. So the Gemara here says, when does a woman become a Yoledes? Now, once she's a Yoledes, the halacha is going to consider her to be several things. Yoledes means laboring. She's one going to be Nida, because she's going to be forbidden to her husband. She's also going to be a Chola Sheyesh Basakana. So you want to know when can they drive to the hospital and not touch her, effectively. So, halacha l'maisa, before we continue, it's important. This, you should remember this part, it should be shayach. should never happen, right? First of all, Sefer Chassidim says, again, you're supposed to daven that the woman doesn't go into labor on Shabbos just because you avoid all these kashas, all these problems. Not because it's a bad thing, it's a wonderful thing. Daven and melech is more than Shabbos. And if it's a boy, we do the bris on Shabbos, no problems. You just have to deal with all these shilohs, and it's during the week, it's pure shilohs. Need a shiloh still applies, right? Even during the week. So, yes, we're going to find a point in a woman's labor where she becomes a cholos yesh basakana. And at that point, which is a cholos yesh basakana, you can do isurei deraisa, right? So, halacha l'maisa today, we don't wait until the woman becomes a cholos yesh basakana to drive to the hospital on Shabbos. Because if you get there earlier, it'll be better for her and the child. So we're going to allow you, whenever the doctor says to come into the hospital, we're going to say it's okay because you don't have to wait until it's too late. Once you become a cholos yesh basakana, it might be too late to drive to the hospital. You might be having the baby really soon, and that's not the best situation. So you become a cholos yesh basakana, yes, that's true. We'll allow you to do whatever is necessary before to get to the hospital. So halacha l'maaseh today we do that. But when, at what point in labor? So the Gemara says, when does it start? From Psichas HaKeder. A text clearly written by men. The opening of the grave, which refers to the woman's womb, or uterus. Mm-hmm. So called the Kever. Okay, so when does that happen? Because, like, you know, we're doctors, we're rabbis, we're not really going in and doing an internal exam. Maybe we should. Maybe when does it open? So, okay. What happens in childbirth? So, woman's pregnant, the baby grows in the womb. Why doesn't the baby fall out?
Because the muscles are pushing the baby out.
No, why doesn't the baby fall out in, like pregnancy?
Because it's
closed, right? I mean, it's closed. Okay. So the uterus is closed and has an opening because it can open. Mm-hmm. Yes? So it's called dilation. The uterus dilates up to 10 centimeters is normal. And at 10 centimeters, we say, oh, she can push the baby out and the baby's head should fit and Baruch Hashem, everything should be good. So the woman needs to be up to 10 centimeters. So you would say, Psichas HaKeder, when's it open? I don't know. At some point when she's dilated. Right? So we know that today because we can do an internal exam. The times of Chazal, I don't know if they were doing it or not. Or they were assuming... Or they were assuming that, well, at what point? A woman can walk around in the ninth month at 4 or 5 centimeters dilated and be fine and not be in labor. Mm-hmm. Right? And then women have contractions, right? The uterus starts to push and then she pushes the baby out. So, okay, so it's not going to do with actually opening of the uterus, of the cervix, right? The cervix is the neck of the uterus, because you could be at 4 or 5 centimeters and be fine, unless you mean 10 centimeters, but unlikely. So he says, okay, so this Gemara says like this. When does it happen? Because, like, we're going to need to know when she's nida, when... Also, they're not traveling to the hospital, right? So they're just going to call the midwife at this point. So they get sort of wait, because, like, where's the rush? Right, what's she going to do in the meantime? So maybe it's like, here, Amar Abaye, Mishah Shekeshav Alamashkeh. When she sits on the birthing stool, when the woman's ready to sit on the birthing stool, that's when the Psichas HaKeder. Sounds like she'll be both Nida, the Gemara here is talking about Nida, but it sounds like she'll be both Nida and the Chol Shegesh Pasakana, or you'll let us at the same time. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua Amar, Mishah Shehadam Shosis Viore. Right? When the blood starts flowing, right? At some point in childbirth, she starts bleeding. Okay? The Amri La, the others say, Mishah Shechavroseh Anosos Osem. Da'agapel. Until, at the point where her friends have to carry her, she can no longer walk on her own. Now, if you think about it, these are very interesting simanim, right? How else are they going to know? Mm-hmm. Right? They're watching from afar. What are people realizing? Right? We can't monitor the contractions. We can't monitor the dilation. Okay. So what do we do? We say Mishah Shekeshav Alamash, when she sits on the birthing stool. When in the world does a woman sit on the birthing stool? What is a birthing stool? Let alone when the women sit on it, and today there's no birthing stool.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I don't know. So that we'll have to define. When does she sit on the birthing stool? We'll see. Right? Or when the blood starts flowing. So I know, when the blood starts flowing, that's an easy one. Right? Okay, that we can tell objectively when it happens.
Right.
Although we're not so sure, because, right, so the...
The crowning, right? It's like...
So crowning means that the head is engaged, so you can see the head.
Right.
Problem is that, so the baby in the uterus is not just in the uterus, it's in the amniotic sac. In the amniotic sac is fluid. At some point in labor, right, the water breaks. You heard this, right? So what does it mean, the water breaks? The amniotic sac ruptures. It needs to rupture so the baby can get out. And all this water spills out. Mm-hmm. Is that Dam Sosa Sviyarid? It's not blood. It's clear. It should be clear. If it's not clear, so it's a medical emergency. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with that? It's clear. So is that Dam Sosa Sviyarid or not? So most poskim will say, I think, that if it's not, there's no Dam in it. Sometimes there's Dam in it. Why is there Dam in it? So if there's blood in it, oh my God, that's going to be a medical emergency. Alternatively, it could be from the outside and it just whatever blood was around came out because it came gushing forward. It came gushing out, and so that's okay. So that's at least objective. Three, when her friends need to carry her. So I guess at some point in labor, a woman cannot walk on her own anymore because she's ready to give birth. I'm going to define it as my own that, so what about the first one, she sits in the birthing stool? I assume that means when she's ready to push.
Right.
I'm assuming it means she's ready to push, meaning she's already 10 centimeters dilated, she's ready to push, that's called the second stage of labor. She's ready to push. That's going to be what it's talking about. So, which one of these is going to happen first? Depends on the woman. The Rishonim argue which one happens first, which one happens second. I don't know. I mean, I've seen, did an OB rotation, some women are walking around, some women are not walking around. Some women see Dam and they're still walking around. Right? But some women are not pushing and they see Dam. Okay? We're machmer for all three. We're machmer for all three at any, whenever one of the three occurs, the woman becomes Nida. And whenever one of the three occurs, she's also called Yesh Basakana. This Gemara is really talking about Hilchos Nida. But we're going to we apply it also to Hilchos Shabbos. She becomes a Chol Yesh Basakana. Again, practically today, if you need to get to the hospital, and you'll be safer in the hospital if you travel earlier, right, if she's ready to push, and you waited till they get to drive to the hospital and she's ready to push, not a good idea. Then you need an ambulance. You can usually take a cab, right? We live in a wonderful place. We have a lot of non-Jewish cab drivers who can take us to the hospital. There's no reason, if she's not in active labor, so the contractions start, they usually spread out and they get rhythmic, like every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes, every 5 minutes, every 4 minutes. At some point, you call your doctor, she says, oh, or he says, when the contractions are X number of minutes apart, come in, and you call a cab. There's no, you don't have to be there for a second. You can call a cab because it's Amir Lanafri. Bring my chops, right? Amir Lanafri, and then if you drive, right, you take a cab and you get there. If you drive, you can certainly drive, right? Because you're going to prevent a Chol Sheish Masakana. And she's going to be a Chol Sheish Masakana. We can allow you to be there. What are you going to do with your car once you get there? Talk about this, right? You've let your wife out of the car, and now you're in front of the hospital, and then what do you do with the car?
Because
now you're stuck, right? Because you can't tell, she's in the wheelchair, right? You're going to push her in. Okay, so what do you do with the car now? So you can do valet.
Right.
That's great. So I know my mom needs to have valet, specifically in Chavez for this purpose. Mm-hmm. Columbia has valet all the time, in the hospital, which is great. Costs a fortune, but okay. So you can say, but there's no valet. So you certainly can't, I believe, in my opinion, you can't leave your car in front of the hospital. Because the next father is going to pull up 5 minutes later, and he's going to need to get access, and you're creating a problem of Chol Sheish Basakana for the next person.
Right.
So you have to move your car. How far do you have to move your car? I don't think you can look for parking.
Right.
You certainly can't look for like a non-metered parking. Meaning, you want to look for a good spot. I don't think you can move from looking for parking at all. You have to get your car out of the way. And then I don't know that you can turn off the car either.
Right.
So it creates so many problems. If you can take a cab, take a cab. There's no reason not to take a cab. It'll probably be cheaper because they're going to charge you the valet anyway. And if there's no rush, there's no reason not to take a cab. If there is a rush, so you call an ambulance. You driving is not going to be a safe thing, especially if it's your own wife. You're going to be nervous and it's going to be a problem. Either call an ambulance or a cab. And Rabbi Soloveitchik once said, he doesn't see any justification for ever driving on Shabbos. Right? As a non-Hatzalah member. You know, Hatzalah, they have to get there. But for a non-Hatzalah member, you need to get to the hospital right this minute, call Hatzalah or call an ambulance. Or you have time to get there and you can call a cab and there's everything for it. Fine. So what are we going to allow for a Chol Sheish Basakana? So it sounds like we should allow everything, right? In Issa D'Oraisa, you can do everything normally for a Chol Sheish Basakana, right? Just like every other Chol Sheish Basakana. Someone had a heart attack. It's the same thing. The Gemara decided and calls this woman a Chol Sheish Basakana. The problem is the Gemara on the previous page is less good. So we've seen this in different contexts. We've seen this when we talked about Chol Sheish Basakana. Because this is the exceptional case. So he says like this to the Gemara. He's saying that my punctuation is off. So the Mishnah says, with a woman's labor, you can get called a midwife, and you can mechal Shabbos, and you can do whatever you need. Right? You can do whatever you need. Well, mechal and lasa Shabbos. The Gemara says, well, why do you have to add in the phrase, you can do whatever you need? The Gemara says like this. So, mifli kanal miyalim kayisha. The Mishnah says, you can help her give birth. Right, you birth the, I don't know what the midwife does. So she births the women, I don't know what the verb is. I never got this, right? Whatever, she can assist in the birthing process. Right, you can call the midwife. So why does it say, and you can mechal Shabbos? I thought it was just mechal Shabbos. What are you adding? He says, you might have shrikhal in there, chaber to like a slab in there. If you need a candle lit, you can light a candle. You might have shrikhal a shemen, chaber to reveal a shemen. If you need oil, because I don't know why they need oil, but they needed oil. Medical reasons, need oil, so you can go get oil. Remember, so this is what the Gemara says. Shem biya. The email of Sabbath biya, the biya of Sira, you can carry it in your hair. Right? I mean, you can carry the oil in your hand, not a jug of oil.
Right.
A little bit of oil. And if not, carry it in your hair. And if not, then you can carry it in a kli, in a cup or something. Okay?
So the Gemara here says, okay.
So how are you carrying the oil? So, what can you could do everything, right? So, why not just bring the jug of oil? So, we saw the Ramban says from here, you see, even for a cholos, you have to do a shinui. Whenever you can do a shinui, you have to do a shinui. You see that from this Gemara, right? That whenever you can do a shinui, you have to. Because she's a cholos, and then the Gemara is telling you, put it in your hand, if not, put it in your hair. If you can't, you can't. Right? At the end of the day, you can't do a shinui, don't do a shinui. But if you need to do a shinui, if you can, then you should do it.
So it is difficult, yeah, it's not.
Sounds like it, right? The Rambam says, no. Cholos yesh sakana, no shinui. What about this Gemara? You know what we said?
I'll go back to my notes.
It's okay, it's almost over. It has almost over. So he said, yeah, your lettuce is different.
Right.
Your lettuce, cholos yesh sakana, yeah, you don't need the shinui. But she's a Yoledes. This is natural. We want this to happen.
Right.
This is a good thing. Right? This is natural and it's a good thing. So, and we're expecting it. He says, for her, for Yoledes, we can be Mishana whenever we can. But regular Chol Sheyesh Basakana? No. But here, we, whenever we can be Mishana, we should be Mishana. So it's my focus Rambam. And the Rambam.
Right.
So they both agree that by Yoledes means a shinui, right? Equals shinui, right? And he also says, all cholim sheyesh bahem sakana. And he says, just the Yoledes. Right, they both agree to this point that Yoledes means a shinui. That's what the Gemara is clear. The question is, well, what do you do with that? The Rambam says, just the Yoledes. And the Rambam says, she's a chol sheyesh basakana, every chol sheyesh basakana. And we said, why? Right? And this is so the Rambam says, even though, normally, a chol sheyesh basakana does not need a shinui, right? There's a machlokas. The Machaber said, no, and the Rambam said, yes. Even according to the Machaber, by Yoledes requires a shinui. Okay? So no matter what's going to happen, by Yoledes we're going to need a shinui whenever we can. So they point out, okay, so you're driving to the hospital, you should drive with a shinui. All the poskim say don't drive with a shinui. Why?
Because, I mean, then you're going
to... You're overthinking. Yeah?
Why cannot be with a shinui?
We said, even if, according to the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, Baruch Hu, Yesh Bo Sakana, you don't need a shinui, but you'll let us need a shinui. So then, and how are you going to drive with a shinui?
Right.
You're going to cause an accident.
Yeah.
That's just dumb. Don't do it. Don't use hand. So he said, I should use hand signals. Because no one knows what hand signals are anymore. You need to drive normally. You're going to be nervous. You're telling me you're not going to be nervous. You're going to be nervous. No one knows what your hand signals are. Drive normally. If you need to drive, drive normally. It's just too dangerous. Right? You have to use your seichel. When you can mishana, you should do a shinui. All the posts can point out, that's not called when you can mishana. All you can do there is create a dangerous situation. So we don't do that. Whenever you have to drive to the hospital, we try to drive without any shinuyim, just because it's dangerous. What you could do is before Shabbos, right? Let's say you have to drive really far, so it's a tchum issue, or you're carrying, there's no eruv. Before Shabbos, prepare. Take things out of your car, maybe. Right? You don't have to carry all your work stuff in the car. If according to some poskim, the more you have in the car, it's carrying on Shabbos. So we're going to let you carry on Shabbos, right? You got to get to the hospital. Only what you need.
Right.
So before Shabbos, take it out just in case on Shabbos you'll need it. Mm-hmm. Once it happens, don't start emptying your car. Just go. But nonetheless, on Shabbos, but you could things that you could prepare for ahead of time and think about them clearly, so that'll be mutter. Maybe have your radio off so it doesn't go on when you turn on the car. Right? These are like things you can plan ahead when you're not nervous and can do it. Once the radio's on, you probably shouldn't turn it off. What's the head there to turn it off? But okay. Right? And you should drive with your headlights. You shouldn't say, no, it's okay. You should drive safely. Just, that's the way it should be. Fine. So for Yoledes, we're going to need a shinui. And then we'll start on Wednesday with the rest of the Gemara. And we'll talk about more of the childbirth-related things. And the quiz again will be on Monday on Mechush Ba'al.